I am very thankful to be here.
Yes.
I'm thankful for the memories that we can have. I'd like to turn the beginning over here in Joel, the second chapter. Somebody gets it, you can read it for us. Hadn't really intended to read this, but it's talking of, it's the one that's quoted in Acts. Talks about old men dreaming dreams. Joel, the second chapter, says in the 28th verse, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." And I believe the phrase "your old men shall dream dreams" is left out of the quote in Acts. I'm thinking this morning just a little bit about the old men dreaming dreams. It's not my real focal point, but I'm at the age that my grandchildren, I know, think I'm old, and my children are starting to think that, and I'm starting to realize that I'm not as young as I used to be. So I feel like I qualify to dream some dreams. And I know the power of a daydream, to where that you can totally escape the reality of the setting that you're in with a daydream. You can begin to think about something that you're interested in, and maybe an aspiration that you have, and you begin to dream about the outcome. And especially in a setting like this, where we're able to look without almost no impairment or out around the campgrounds and maybe see some other activity, you can begin to daydream and totally lose connection with what's going on under here. But I want you to know that one of the daydreams that I have is that there would be a generation that would come along and hold the values better than the ones in the past. I don't like to hear about a congregation in decline. I don't like to hear about those that lose interest. I don't like to hear about those that don't see a need or don't know why we have to do this or why we have to do that. I don't like to hear those kind of things. And I tell you, I dream about those that would see the value of standing true. So I have some memories about this place, temporal memories. I could have stood up and kept us entertained for a little bit longer, and I don't mean to do that now. But I spent a lot of time here as a young man. Heard a lot of stories about those that went on before me here. Yes. Well, I'm sure I was here before my first birthday. because I would have been a year old in October, and I know the camp meeting was before that. So I'm sure I made it. Don't remember it though. So beyond all of the things of the construction and the repairs and the maintenance that was done on the grounds, I have a lot of memories of the services too. I remember those that sang the special songs and those that preached the word. And I look out over the crowd today and I think about the potential that's here.
Yes.
Some people look on children as a plague or a problem. And some people look on the youth as something that's unaccountable and difficult to manage and all of that. But I see great potential.
Yes.
I see something here that has the potential to make a monumental, not just significant and not just slight, but I see the potential here to make a monumental change in the world that we live in. I like looking out over the congregation to see young couples and think about the potential that their home has. And one of my memories that has to do more with spiritual things and things that have to do with our soul is I remember a time. I'm just barely old enough to remember this, that my mother was very, very sick, and she thought she might pass, and Sister Jan came and was stayed and was a babysitter for myself and my brother at the time. She was a young lady that was willing to give of herself. And Sister Melanie was my Sunday school teacher. And when Brother Marshall came along, he wasn't my friend. Because he took my friend and moved her off someplace I'd never been. And as I look down over time, I see that Brother Marshall and Sister Melanie, would y'all forgive me for pointing you out this morning, but they have been straight as an arrow. I appreciate them.
Yes. Yes.
I think a lot more of Brother Marshall today than I did then. Because he had a vision of holding truth.
Yes.
We see the evidence and his family. I appreciate them too. Many of them are here today, and I want you to know that I have great aspirations and anticipation for you.
wants you to be true.
Yes.
I'd like to turn to a verse that was read last night. I think it was in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, and I want to just read the third verse, I believe. We know the account here where the dry bones were scattered, and the Lord had told, come to the Ezekiel, we believe here, and he said, he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Been that way for a while. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. The potential that's in each one of you today, especially you that are young and have your future ahead of you, only God knows what the magnitude of that potential is. I like to think that I can see some of that. I like to think that I can visualize what it would be like for every one of you to stay true to God and to really be earnest about your experience with the Lord. I like to think I can visualize that, but I know that I can just barely see a little bit. Only God knows the full extent of that. Only God knows your individual abilities. He's the only one that knows your situation and the conditions that you're coming from. And I believe that God is able to help you realize your potential.
Yes.
I'd like for us to turn to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and I want to begin reading in the 11th verse. He said, For this commandment which I commanded thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and shall bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it into us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Know that many of you here were at another meeting, another setting last weekend. And maybe I'll just ask something I don't normally do. Would you raise your hand if you were at the meeting last weekend? I wasn't there. I thought there'd be more, but... Those of you that were there, I know that you heard truth. I don't know what it was all said, but I know you heard truth.
Yeah.
I know that many of you, if not all, were at other camp meetings this summer, and you heard truth there too. I know that many of you come from a congregation where you can hear truth on a regular basis. I know that I would like to think that 100% of you come from homes that have family worship, where you hear the word and you get instruction on a consistent, regular basis. I'd like to think that every one of you have a good foundation of what the word says and what truth is. And he says here, For this commandment I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's not like that you've come here as a novice and you don't really know where to start. It's not that you've come here and you don't really know what the scripture teaches or how to live a life of integrity. You've seen those that have lived the life before you. I've had that. I've told you a little bit. I've had those that have lived before me in integrity, and you have too. So it's not like it's something that you are unaware of. It says it's not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up to heaven to bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? It's not that something new has to be revealed to you. He says, neither is it beyond the sea. It's not a long distance away. It's not in some obscure place. It's something that you're familiar with. And many times the old saying of familiarity brings contempt, or breeds contempt, is something that we have to struggle with. You've been around it. You was raised with it. You were, it was lived, the example was lived before you, and many times you come to the place, it's just old stuff. And you don't really value it for what it is and what it should be. So I want to appeal to you, I have an appeal today. I believe there's tremendous potential here. But there has been incredible potential that has been literally thrown out the window in so many areas in people's lives down through time. You can take a heritage of having fathers, mothers, grandparents, and great-grandparents that have been straight and true, and you can be right there in your hand, so to speak, and you can disdain it and consider it irrelevant. You can consider it not valuable. You can consider it as something that, take it or leave it, you can do what you want with it. It's not that big a deal to me, and you can throw it out with the rubbish. Or you can choose
yes.
to put it in place in your life.
Yes.
So he says here, it's not out there somewhere. You don't have to go out and reinvent it. It says here in the 15th verse, see, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. There's two different basic directions. You're either going to choose one way or the other. He says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in thy ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. You know, I want every one of you young people to experience the joys of being a parent.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful experience. I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have had in life, and I want you to experience that too. And it says, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. The land that you go to possess, the future that's ahead of you. Many of you are probably still living at home with your parents. I think it's a good thing, all right? My last one moved out this year, and he lived there right up until the very last day before he got married, and it was a pleasure to have him there. And many of you are still there. But your future is out in front of you. And many times you begin to daydream of what does my future hold? How's it going to develop? And I'm looking from my perspective, and I'm looking out at all of the time that is rolled out behind me. And you're looking out in the future, and you feel this uncertainty of what it might hold. And I know that you want to be successful. None of you here say, well, the highest priority of my life is to just make a wreck of things. I doubt any of you have that objective in your mind. And if you do, come talk to me. I think we need to get on the same page. But you're looking out in the future and you have this anticipation. I want my life to mean something. I want to accomplish some things. I want to be happy. I want to have some experiences that are rewarding to me when I get to be as old as that guy standing up there. I want it to be meaningful to
yes.
other people.
Yes.
And I hope somewhere's in there, if not at the top, it's getting there. I want it to be meaningful for the work of
Amen.
God.
Yes.
I want it to be something that will bless other people.
Yes.
He says here, this land that you're going to possess. He says, I'm commanding thee this day to love the Lord. You know, there was a time my children didn't have a choice. This is the way it's going to be. And as they got older, there came times where they had to make some choices. And now, you know, there's times I might want to make a choice for them, and it's out of my hands now. It's all in their responsibility. They have to make it now. So if you're not there, you're fast getting there. That's where right. It's entirely your responsibility right. for your choices and where you're going and what you're bringing into your life and what you're engaging in and all of those things. And it's not going to matter how faithful your parents or your grandparents or great. It's going to be up to you. So he says, I'm setting this before you. I'm commanding you this day to love the Lord. I'd like to go around to everyone here and look you in the eye and say, listen, you got to love the Lord. And if you don't, you're going to deal with me. And then I'd like to be big enough to take care of that. But I can't do that. And I sure can't hold all of you responsible. But you're going to have to have enough integrity and be responsible enough in yourselves before the Lord, every one of you. But the potential is, if you will, look at what it would be there. You'd have to build onto this place. You'd have to build onto the home congregation. The community, you know, it's something that just attracts more. There's people going to come and see if there's something going on. They looking on. I don't know what's happening there, but you know, let's go find out. There's children playing outside. There's people coming in, and they got smiles on their faces when they come out, and all of these kind of things. And the communities are going to be more engaged. And we can make a choice. We can stand back and say, well, I don't know about that. That's come out with her lip hung out and think, I don't know about that, what they said. And, you know, as me and my house, we're going to go fishing. Or we're going to do something else. You know, being at church every time is really a drain. I think I'll do something else. I'll put something else at the higher level of priority. And you know what? That's going to have an impact too. And it's not going to pay the dividend that I'm trying to talk to you about. It's not the one I want to look you in the eye and say, this is what you got to do. He says here, if you will listen, if you will follow my command, he says, but in the 17th verse, if thine heart turn away so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. There's a condition here. If you choose to go another way, he says, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and ye shall not prolong your day, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land. You know, when God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you'll die, right? Yes. Here he says, if you choose to go another way, he says, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and ye shall not prolong your days in the land whither thou goest over Jordan to go to possess it. You're not going to have sustainable contentment and happiness. Now, when you are young, you can manufacture contentment, gratification, and satisfaction in your own power to some extent. You can build enthusiasm and impact your environment to the point that it's fulfilling, it's gratifying. But there's coming a day that if you don't follow the plan God has for you, it's not going to taste so good. This week, I needed a little
sweet feed to attract some livestock in a pen. I didn't have any in the bag, and I thought, you know, there's some in that feeder over there. I'll just go climb down in there and get me a bucket of that and get back out. Well, I got up there, and there's something about the way my legs fold up and don't fold up to get in and out of that feeder. There was a time I thought I might hook my foot and flip myself off the side. And there was a day that it would have been no problem. I would have climbed right up there and slid over in and pushed myself out, and it would have been just smooth sailing. Well, you know, you're going to come to the place that you can't do what you used to do. I'm here to testify to that. You're going to be at a place where you can't create the environment of gratification that you can right now. And I'm telling you, just listen to me. I'm telling you, if you choose to follow another path besides the path that has been laid out before you, besides the path that God would ordain for you to follow in your personal life, in your relationships, in your decisions, in your occupations, and all of those things, if you choose to follow another path, your days will not be prolonged in that land that you want to possess. What are you wanting to possess? I want a land that's fulfilling. I want a land that brings me contentment. I want a land that brings me satisfaction. And your days will not be prolonged there. You'll have momentary satisfaction. You'll have some gratification. But there's going to come a time when you're going to wish that you made another choice. That's just the bottom line. And I'd like for you not to do that. These are the types of settings that's conducive to us gaining an understanding of God's expectations. These settings right here. If we want these environments to establish things in your minds where you can go and possess a land that you can get old and comfortable in, naturally old. You can get to an age of ripe maturity and still realize, I'm glad I took this path. I'm glad I chose this direction. You're going to have to make the choice, though. And you're going to have to make a choice by the end of this service. Not because I have the power. I'm just telling you. It's going to be different from now on. You're going to have to make the choice. You're going to have to deal with the end results of your choice. Sometimes we call the end results of our choices consequences, and sometimes we call them rewards. Are you listening to me? Sometimes the results of our choices we call consequences, and sometimes we call them rewards. I'm thankful for rewards. But I realize that consequences are a reality too. I remember where I was. When I made the conscious decision about my future, I was at a place called Grubbs. Anybody know where that's at? Some of you do. I remember who the preacher was. It was Brother Curtis Williams. Not the Brother Curtis you know, but his dad. I don't remember what the message was, but I remember the stark reality that I was facing. And I remember about how old I was. And I realized if I keep making the decisions I'm making, I'm going to be going in a different direction. And I realized that I was well past the age of accountability, and this choice had to be my choice. Yeah. My parents might say, in this house, you're not going to do certain things, but I needed to have that choice in my heart. I realized that. I was about 11 or 12 years old. And I'm glad that I made the choices that I did. And I'd like for you to be able to make those same type of statements down the road. You see, there's great potential here. I'm old enough to watch my peers make different decisions. Some have chosen to follow the path of life that's been set before them. Some of them have raised their families in a path that is conducive for their children to get a hold of truth, to where it's not way out there somewhere. It's not somebody that has to go across the sea to bring it to them or climb up into heaven to bring it down. It's been right around them. Many of you have had it right around you. As we might say in other contexts, there's no excuse to not have an understanding and not be able to witness what it is of having a real relationship with the Lord. It's right here staring you in the face, but you're going to have to make that choice. Many of those, or some of those that are my peers in age, those that I was in this type of setting with and sitting next to other young men on the same bench and maybe a row of young ladies in front of us or behind us or whatever. And I remember those kind of settings very well. And some have chosen a path that was completely opposite of what was set before them. And they have made the conscious decision, I don't want nothing to do with that. And they've chose a different path and never come back. And others, way too many, have chosen a path that just wasn't exactly what was laid out before them. They wanted to take something else with them. They wanted to incorporate something else. That might be fine for somebody that's 50 or 60 or somewhere like that, but I'm young and I'm just not going to do that. And they've taken something else along with them in life. And I've lived long enough now to see the end results of those things. And they didn't land. They didn't prolong their stay in the land of happiness. They didn't prolong their stay in the land of contentment and joy and peace and safety. I'm old enough to have raised a family and known the challenges and the joys of that. And I've watched my peers do the same. Some have brought their children to settings like this, and some have a tender spot in their heart for this type of setting, but have allowed other interests to supersede and to take precedence. And they've kept their children from experiencing it. And there's a consequence for that. Some have abandoned these settings completely, and their families have been raised on a completely different path. And now they come back occasionally, just to see some old faces, to see if Brother Ivan and I are still alive, to see if we're still around, to see if we're still like we used to be. And you're going to have to make those choices today, not out in the future. You need to make it, you have to make it today. Where are you going to go? What direction are you going to head? It's not a time for me to say, well, later on, When it's a convenient season, come back. You know, we don't have any record of him coming back and making that decision. There is no time like the present to make a decision. There is no time like the present to make up your mind. There is no time like now to make a commitment. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, there's dividends and there's rewards. Do you see it? Do you see it in Brother Marshall and Sister Melanie's life?
Yes. Thank the Lord.
Do you see it in somebody else's life? Or you think, I don't want any of that? Well, surely I wouldn't have to be quite that conscientious or careful. Well, what do you want as the end result? What's your decision going to be? What's your choice? What's your direction going to be? In Matthew, the 13th chapter, I'd like to look at a parable that Jesus taught. Very familiar to all of us, I know. Might have could have got up here and gave you a pep talk without any reading any scriptures, because you know what's in there basically. 13th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the first verse, it says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear." Everyone here able to hear today? I don't speak very loud, but hopefully you're able to hear what I'm saying today. Are you listening? There's been a lot of seed planted on these grounds, spiritual seed. There's been a lot of seed for a lot of years been planted here. And there's been a lot of people that's allowed the seed to be caught away. There's been a lot of people that the seed has been like it has fell by the wayside. And there's been a lot of ones that the seed has fell on stony ground. Oh, it's so good to be at camp meeting and see all of those that are my peers and my friends, and we had a good time. It was wholesome, clean fun, and I want you to have wholesome, clean fun. And the seed sprouted and it started to grow up, and I felt like, oh, this is, it's such a good time. But I get back to the house and, you know, that pressure to conform to those that's around me just snuffed the life out of it. And it all withered up and died. And over again, there's been many that's been in the same environment. I was at Myrtle, and I was at Monarch, and I was at Guthrie. My father planned our vacation to incorporate the camp meetings every year. But I could have been one of those that was like on the stony ground. It could have sprouted a little bit. I could have enjoyed seeing Brother Ivan when he was there, and his brother, and we were good friends, still are. And then it could have sprouted up, and next thing you know, could have been all gone. So what's it going to be today for you? What level of commitment and choices are you going to make? You're going to have to make it today. You know, the future is all out there. and you're going to make a choice. I don't like to be extra forceful, but the reality is if you make the wrong choice today, you're going to have some consequences to deal with. Even if you prolong a week or a year. You know, a lot can happen in a year, can't it? Been a lot of people gone on to meet their reward that I know in the last year. And there may be some folks before this year is out or before the next meeting that's right here. Could be young, could be old. That won't be able to be here because they've departed this life. So don't wait till next year. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till tonight's service. Don't wait till tomorrow. Make a choice. Where are you going? What do you want to take with you? Do you want it to be like seed that's thrown on the rocky ground, the stony ground on the side, and just spring up because others around me can't? Yes, that's good to fit in and all of that. And then you're going to have to get some root. You're going to have to. There's a lot of good dirt around here. I don't mean to call you dirt, but there's a lot of good dirt around here. A lot of good soil. There's been a lot of cultivation that's been going on. I cultivated my children regularly. You know, when you open the Bible and over there in Proverbs and you said, "My son, attend to my words," and then you go off and tell them what you need to tell them that day. Listen to me. I've done that a lot. Many parents have done. Use the scripture and use your family worship time to teach the values and instill the things. You're preparing good soil. That's what you're doing. And when you come to a setting like this and the seeds are cast, it can fall in that good dirt and bring forth, what is it? It is a potential. There's a potential. I've planted, the best thing that happened to me this year in my garden was the corn. It done really well. But you know, if I didn't plant, it wouldn't have come up. If I didn't prepare the soil, it wouldn't have sprouted probably. And your soil has been in preparation consistently. It's not out there somewhere. You don't have to climb, go to heaven to pull it down. There's been a wonderful seed bed prepared by your background and your environment. And what are you going to do with it? Yes. You're going to raid cuckleburrs? You're going to raise Jimson weed? You're going to raise Johnson grass? Cows like Johnson grass, by the way, but I don't. My wife won't even cook it. And, you know, you got a choice today. You can either choose to let good seeds sprout and grow and germinate in your life, or you can decide to not do that. You can be like, "Oh, well, yeah, it's good to be there, but, you know, there's a lot of other things more important than just being like those old people." Let's read a little more. He says, "And the disciples said unto him," I want to skip down to verse 18 maybe. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Jesus goes to explain it. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which sown in his heart. And this is that he which receiveth the word by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Ye have not yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." That's the category I want us to really think about today. There is a lot of deceitful things that offer fulfillment and gratification and all of that for young people. You know, I hadn't changed a whole lot since I was young. There was a lot of things out there. There was a lot of things that I was encouraged to pursue that would have brought a level of fulfillment and contentment. But I'm going to tell you, if I had of, I would the spiritual seeds and the seed bed that my parents and my grandparents and those that have impacted my life would have sprouted up, and it would have fizzled out, and it would have been choked out by those other things, and I wouldn't be here today, not in this capacity. If I was here, it'd be somewheres wishing that I'd made a better choice. I don't want you to be in that place. I don't want you to be in the place when you get to be in your mid-50s, like I am, and say, I wish I'd made a different choice. You know, if I could go back and do a few things over, have I made mistakes? Yes, I've made mistakes in my life. And I wished I'd done some things differently. But I made some good choices.
Yes.
And I'm glad that I did.
Yes.
I like to look here in verse 24 and 25 yet. He says another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You know that's the way the enemy will do? He'll come right in amongst what is being sown here, and he'll sow some tares, and then he'll be gone. He won't stick around to see what happens. He knows what's going to happen. He'll sow those seeds, and I don't know where all the weed seed is. I mean, I've sprayed for weeds and cultivated, and I think, you know, if I'll just let all those little seeds germinate and sprout and then kill them, maybe I'll have less. I don't know. It seems like somebody's sowing weed seed in my garden, my literal garden. And I'm going to tell you, in your spiritual life, there is somebody. His name is the devil. And he's coming around sowing seeds, even right here this morning, while we're trying to pay attention, the devil is trying to sow some seeds. And there'll be little bitty seeds. You know, there's seeds that you can't hardly see. There's seeds so small that the wind can make them drift. You might scatter them here and they land over there somewhere 200 or 300 feet away. The wind will carry them over there. Little tiny seeds. You know, the enemy is trying to spread some seeds right in amongst the good seed. And they're going to sprout. And they're going to grow. And Lord, help us to realize that the enemy is out there. And if we do not make a choice and a commitment today, if we don't do it, those things are going to be prolific in our life. They're going to grow up and they're going to choke us out. We're going to be like the seed, the ones that the seed was planted amongst the stones and the briars and all of that. It's just going to choke us out. Can you see the end result of the path that you're on today? I can look back and see where I come from. And I can take the position that I'm in now, and I can line up with where I came from, and I have a vision of where I'm going to end up. You that have come from those good, solid backgrounds, homes, congregations, environments that have brought you into a place like this, not just this place, but a place like this, where it's conducive to make a good choice. And where you're at now and what your eyes set on, you know where you're going? You know what's going to end up like? Do you know how much satisfaction there's going to be when you're 30, when you're 40, when you're 50, when you're 60? You know what it's going to feel like? We could talk about habits and all kinds of other things, but I want us to think about that land of fulfillment.
Yes.
You won't dwell there very long. It won't be very gratifying. Your time will be limited there. And you're going to go out into a land that you wish you'd have ended up somewhere else. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? The choice you make in this service is going to be another choice to send you in the direction you're going to end up. Do you hear me? You're going to make a choice in this service. And it's going to either realign you to a place where you're going to be good seed and good ground. You're either going to get realigned or you're going to make a choice to make one more step. And one more step. And I don't have to make very many steps this way or that way until you can't hear me through this. You agree? If I stand right here, you have the best possibility of hearing what I say. But I can take about three steps over there and I start to fade out. And you can take two or three steps to one side or two or three, you know, just incrementally. Where you're at right now is a culmination of the decisions you've made in past services. And you're never going to get realigned if you don't make a choice now. I want this. I want God to be the center of my life. I want to be on target to possess the land of the Lord, perpetually, continually. Is that what you want? Would you make a choice today? No, it's not a will you. You're going to make a choice. You're making a choice right now in your seat. We're going to give an opportunity. You can come to an altar of prayer. Rededicate your life. Realign your priorities. What do you want to do? Where do you want to end up? Do you want to end up as an icon of poor choices? Or do you want to end up that somebody else, somewhere down the line, can point to and say, they've been straight as an arrow. So what do you want today? The choice is yours, you know. You pray for me.